Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page with myself, Patrick Donoghue. On today's show, I will feature two sports that you may never ever heard of, the sport of axe throwing and Quidditch. Later in the show, I'll be talking to Philip Moore of the Dublin Dragons Quidditch team. But firstly, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Ashley Glover of the Wicklow Axe Throwing Club. Ashley, how are you today?
How are you, sir?
Not too bad. Ashley, it's a very interesting sport. Can you tell us a little bit about the sport?
Yeah, so I suppose it started in countries that have a lumberjack or a forester tradition. So a lot of the clubs would be in Canada or Sweden, Austria, Germany, Alaska, the kind of, you know, where you'd normally think of kind of lumberjacks working. So it's a kind of vintage sport in some ways, but it's had a bit of a resurgence in recent years as new clubs have set up, and not always in places where they have big forests. And there's a big focus on urban axe throwing leagues now, where people are going to throw axes the same way you would go to play a game of darts or maybe go to a bowling alley.
And how did you get involved with the sport?
2 or 3 years ago, a couple of us in Wicklow that would be into kind of outdoor stuff anyway, a few of us were archers or hunting, fishing people, so we knew each other anyway through other target sports, and we heard about axe throwing. One of the guys from Newtown Man Kennedy, Matthias, imported the first double bit throwing axe. They're a particular type of axe, and maybe I can, you know, explain how the axes are.
Please do.
It's about a 30-inch handle, so similar to a regular felling axe. The weight is about 4.5 pounds.
Right.
So it's similar to throwing a large felling axe. If you ever split logs, you'll kind of get an idea of the kind of what it's like, except it's double bit. So there's a blade on both sides of the axe. You're throwing at a wooden target that is 20 feet away from you. You're aiming for a 2-inch bullseye, which is about 60 inches off the ground, so at about chest level. And it's a target sport. It's competitive. You're throwing against other people. And you're hoping to hit the bullseye more than they do.
Yes, it sounds very, very interesting. And I know, Ashley, you have an event on at the weekend. It's the first Irish Open.
Yeah, so the first Irish Open has been held this weekend in Greenann near Rathdrum and Wicklow. We've got about 60 competitors coming from all over the world, from Canada, Sweden, Germany, UK, Russia, Switzerland, and so on. We've got the world champion, Daniel Herberg, coming in from Sweden. We've got the UK champion Heath Dawson, who actually lives in Wicklow in Roundwood. We've got the German champion. A lot of really good throwers are coming to Wicklow, so it's a fairly unique event. If you want to see some of the best axe throwers in the world, as you probably know, we have a bit of a Viking heritage in Wicklow here, with the Vikings being filmed here in Ashford.
Yeah. And for people can just turn up on the day for people that are kind of...
Yeah, so basically to compete, you have to have pre-registered. So registrations are closed now, so all the teams are already booked in. So it's too late to throw for this year. Day one, which is the Saturday, is the individual throwers, men's and women's. And day two are the country teams. So they're three throwers per team. For each country, so the teams will be competing against each other on a country kind of World Cup basis. So yeah, it's a 2-day event, and if you rock up to Greenann, it's the maze. You may be familiar with it. There's a maze and a kind of visitor centre there, and we're at the back of that, throwing for the weekend. Yeah, so come down.
Yeah, no, it sounds great, and. It's a pretty used sport in Ireland, but how I believe you have competed in international competitions. How have you fared?
So we've been in a number of competitions. Heath is currently the UK champion. He beat the Germans and the English teams in the UK there last month. Anthony Clavin from Arklow won the speed throwing competition and came third overall. So we Ireland had two out of the top three positions in the UK Open, which had, again, teams from all over Europe competing. So that was fantastic. We had, I think, four throwers in the World Championships in Germany last summer. So I'm currently ranked at 14th best in the world, which is fantastic.
Yeah, congratulations.
I've only taken up the up the sport 2 or 3 years ago. So, yeah, from a standing start, I think Ireland are doing pretty well. You know, as I say, we don't have a tradition of timber sports in Ireland. You know, but it is growing. There's a number of other timber sports clubs that are doing pretty well. There's a chain a competitive chainsawing team across kind of Carlow, Kildare direction. There's a new axe throwing club set up in Tuam and Galway. There's an embryonic one in Dublin that is looking for a home at the moment. But from pretty much from September to December this year, they're going to be running kind of, you know, a league in Dublin. They haven't confirmed the venue yet, so I don't know don't want to say where it is, but fairly central, probably not too far away from you, where you are. So again, you'll be able to rock up every week and throw axes, which is kind of the way we want to get it to. In Canada, there's about 20 cities now that have their own axe throwing ranges, so you can just go and throw anytime you want.
Yeah, and for people to kind of sell it to people, I'd imagine throwing an axe, it would be a great way of relieving pressure if you had a stressful day. It'd be perfect, throw a few axes at a target.
I suppose it's not really a strength sport, that you need a certain amount of strength to throw at the distance. So you've got to throw you know, a 4.5 pound axe accurately 20 feet. So you need to have a certain amount of core strength to do that. But, you know, most people with a bit of training, we can get them to hit the target. The issue then is to hit it consistently and then to start, you know, getting good scores. So if you look at the top throwers from Europe, they would be, you know, regularly hitting fours and fives. And so bullseyes are just outside the bullseye. And, you know, that's what we'd be hoping for some of the Irish team next weekend. So there's about 20 from Wicklow Axe Throwers competing next week. Next weekend. And we've got three women's teams throwing. Our women's teams are doing really well. Again, they've only really started the women's teams up in the last year or so, 18 months. And they're doing pretty good. They did well in Sweden in the Swedish championships last summer. That was the first kind of Scandinavian event that we've competed in. And so that's pretty much where we're at the moment. We're looking for a permanent range. We're always looking for sponsorship. You know, the main costs we have are the range builds, the axes, and mainly the travel, because there aren't many clubs in Ireland. So if you want to compete, you really have to go to Canada and go to Sweden, go to Germany to compete. So there's a team of either four or six of us heading off to Nova Scotia at the end of August to compete in the Canadian Championships. So that'll be interesting to compete against some of the best North American throwers.
And you mentioned you're the 14th in the world. What is the key skill that you think that, you need to get to that level?
For me, it's, you know, not thinking everyone's looking at you, because it's a bit like, certainly the German setup. There's a lot of, it's outside Frankfurt, and it's a bit like going, I've described it before as going to kind of Wimbledon, but if Wimbledon was held at a biker bar. You've got all these people kind of, you know, these big lads with, you know, full beards and tattoos, and they're twice my body weight. And they're all, you know, smashing up the targets. And then you've got, you know, lads like myself that just rock up and just throw. So I think, for me, it's just pretend you're throwing in your backyard. You know, I've got a target In my backyard here in the Wicklow Hills, and you know, I just get out there and just practice. And you know, it's muscle memory, so it's trying to get, you know, consistent at it. You know, as I say, everyone can hit the bullseye now and again. It's to do it consistently. So yeah, I think the pressure of competition, if you can kind of step back from that, it must be similar in tennis or golf or any of those type of sports where you're just trying to get, you know, repetitive.
So it's just focusing, you know, blocking out all the distractions.
There is a certain amount of strength at the beginning, you know, get your core strength up so you can actually bury the axe in the target. But that comes fairly quickly. You know, it's rare that we have any people new to the sport that can't, just physically can't stick the axe in the target. But, you know, to do it consistently is difficult, you know. It's just difficult because you're hitting a 2-inch bullseye at 20 feet, and that's difficult.
And I suppose some people might be a bit turned off. They might say axe throwing, it's a bit dangerous, but I assume it's very well supervised, and anyone that is starting it up from scratch did get good training before they give it a lash.
So let me talk about, you know, the setup, and I suppose how you set up an axe throwing club and, you know, how all that works. So to talk on the safety issue, the first issue is insurance. So the insurance is pretty much less than you would pay for insurance for a, you know, an equestrian sport or a archery or a clay pigeon shooting or something like that. I think we pay for insurance about 50 quid a year each or less. And so it's, you know, from the insurance perspective, there's, you know, there's no issues. And there are no insurers in Ireland, funnily enough, that insure it, but you can easily get insurance in the UK. So once you've got your insurance and you appoint your range officers, you get set up. Next issue is you've got to source your timber, because you're throwing out these big rounds of timber. And the timber in Ireland is hard enough to source. In Europe, they mainly use poplar. And the size of the rounds you need are about 22 inches across. So to find them can be difficult. We're lucky that we have one of our sponsors is Quilcha. And obviously Quilcha have a lot of trees. So they spot trees for us. And we're good for target rounds. But that can be difficult for clubs setting up to get the right timber. You want timber that's not too hard and not too soft. And doesn't have branches sticking out of it. You want really nice clean rounds. And then you have to keep them wet, because if they dry out, obviously they get hard and your axe bounces out. So getting your timber and your setup right in the first place is important. And then the second thing is getting the axes. So there are only three companies in the world really that forge these competitive throwing axes. Two in Sweden and one in New Zealand. And it can be difficult getting the axes. They're expensive, and there's a long lead time. When we started, it was about a 9-month lead time to get the axes. So it's getting easier now for some of the forges, but some of them, it can still be, you know, they're quite rare, these axes. So it's not like you can go down to Woody's and just buy one. There's a fair long lead time. But one of our sponsors is Hultafors, and they're one of the leading forgers of axes in Sweden. So we have a goodly supply now, but it did take a while to get to that stage, both the timber and the axes. And then really, I suppose, if you're going to compete at an international level, you need a sponsor. And we've been lucky. We have Asavi. They're an IT company based in Dublin. They do Internet of Things, and they came on board fairly early as a sponsor for our club. So they've helped us towards travel to compete in international events. So you kind of need all those elements to come together to make it work. You know, obviously you need the targets, you need the you need the axes, and then you need other clubs to compete against. They're the kind of the three kind of critical things you need for an axe throwing club.
Listen, Ashley, that's actually, it's brilliant. You know, you've given us a great insight, and thanks for joining us. And for people who want to find out more information about, they can check out, I presume, you have a Facebook page?
We're mainly on Instagram, Axe Throwing Ireland, or if you have a group and you want to book in to do a group of people together just to go axe throwing, just to try it out. Go to axeclub.ie.
Okay.
And then you can find out all the details. And, you know, we run corporate events now and again, or, you know, for a group. We've done one for UCD recently. We've done a number of kind of party type events where people just, you know, show up in the afternoon. We sit them down, we talk them through the rules, set them up with the axes, talk them through the safety, give them some one-on-one coaching tips, and then run a small kind of like a small competition, same way as you would do if you were in a club competition. So it's definitely possible to get into the sport. I think it'll remain an e-sport, but it is certainly growing, and I think the competition in Greenland this weekend will certainly get us a bit of profile. I think we'll be on the news, I think, on Thursday or Friday this week.
Great.
And in most of the national papers.
That's brilliant. And if the weather's, I know it's a bit cloudier today, but like, there's no better spot than Wicklow in the warm weather, so it'd be
looking
great.
Looking good, and the winds are light. That's the main thing. You don't want big crosswinds.
Okay.
You'd be surprised how much the crosswinds can put you off. You know, it can definitely move you out of the bullseye. So the winds are light, and it looks like the sun will be out.
Perfect. Listen, Ashley, I know you're going to be busy for the next few days, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and the very best of luck for the competition over
Thank
the weekend.
You very much.
Thank you,
Good
Ashley.
Talking to you.
That's
Bye.
Great. Thanks a lot. That was Ashley Glover, and it looks like an intriguing event, and maybe we'll talk to Ashley or some of the other members of the club as they compete at the other events. I mentioned we'll be talking in a couple of minutes to Philip Muir of the Quidditch team. So today we kind of looked at, we'd said we'd do a team of sports that you don't feature. So our second guest on the show tonight is Philip Muir of the Dublin Dragons Draoghta Quidditch team. And I'm delighted we should be joined by Philip on the line. Philip, how are you today?
Hi, I'm really good there. How are you going, Patrick?
Not too bad. So, Philip, for people that are not familiar with the sport of Quidditch, could you maybe tell us a little bit about it?
So it's a full contact mixed gender sport. It involves elements of rugby and dodgeball and a little bit of handball as well. It kind of originated from the Harry Potter books, where they're flying around on broomsticks, and it's been adapted into a real life sport.
And how long has the club in Dublin been in existence?
Initially in Ireland, there was a club in Galway a few years ago, and now the Dublin team has been around, I think, 3 years.
Yeah, and I think it's Fairview you train at, isn't it?
Yeah, we train at Fairview Park every Sunday.
Yeah.
Although we had a little bit of a break there because quite a few of us actually, were on the Irish team that went to the World Cup last weekend.
Okay. And how did that competition go for you?
It went very, very well. We ranked 21st out of 29 teams that were at the World Cup. So we did very, very well. We had a few very good wins against Hong Kong, against the Netherlands, and against Switzerland. And we played very well in a lot of our other matches.
Yeah. And it seems to be a sport that it's only you, but it seems to be a sport that's growing.
Yeah, it is growing all over the world, all over Europe especially. It's really, really starting to take off. I think the inclusivity of the sport is a big draw for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it's a sport that includes people of all genders all on the same team. Whether you're male or female or non-binary or however you identify, you're included in this sport and everyone gets their chance.
Yeah, and for anyone that may be interested in trying out the sport, how would they go about doing it?
Well, in Ireland, we have two main teams currently set up and running, and those are the Northern Wyverns in Belfast, and you can find their Facebook page if being in the north suits you better, or if you're in the Dublin area, we'd love to have you come to the Dublin Draoghta Dragons. You can find our Facebook page, Dublin Draoghta Dragons, or Quidditch Ireland Facebook page. You can get in touch with Quidditch Ireland and we'll always respond to you and put you in contact with the nearest team.
Yeah.
There's a few teams also developing around the country in Galway and in Cork at the minute. I think we're trying to get one going in Limerick as well if we can. So hopefully there'll be a few more teams around the country, and if anyone's interested in helping set up a team, just get in contact with us and we'd love to help you out.
And for you, your main competition would be them different teams across the country?
It's mainly just us in the Dublin team playing against the Belfast team quite a bit. But we also travel a lot internationally for different tournaments.
Listen, Philip, that's great. People can check out, I presume, your Facebook and Twitter page just to get more information. But thanks a million for joining us on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's great. Listen, that was Philip Muir of the Dublin Dragons Dreyocta Quidditch team. So very, very interesting. We're nearly out of time, but before that, I'm just looking at preview of some events coming up at the weekend. Of course, this weekend is the start of the Super 8s in GAA. So if you're around Dublin, there's two great games. Tyrone and Roscommon play in Croke Park at 5 p.m. and Dublin Donegal is on at 7 o'clock. Really looking forward to them matches. And on Sunday, it is Kildare and Monaghan and Kerry and Galway. So them games kick off at 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. And of course you have the quarterfinals of the Hurling on this weekend. On Saturday you have Clare and Wexford, and on Sunday you have Kilkenny and Limerick. And tonight we'll be keeping an eye on the Irish teams in European action. Dundalk will travel to Estonia to play Tallinn, and Derry are in Belarus where they play Minsk, and Shamrock Rovers play Swedish team AIK. And there's also League of Ireland action on tomorrow night. Actually, only one game on tomorrow night. It's Bohemians and Sligo. And in the First Division, the Athlone will play Cabinteely, and a game I'm hoping to head to myself, kind of a tabletop and top 2-3 teams. Shelburne will play Drogheda and Finn Harps will play Longford, and Wexford also play UCD. And there's also the small matter of the World Cup, and our soccer correspondent Alex Doyle said there's no way England are going to win the World Cup, but anyway, we'll see how that goes. But that's it for today, and before I go, I just want to say hello to Connor and Rory Telfer, who have been over in Ireland for the last few weeks visiting from New Zealand. So I'd like to wish them, they were visiting with their parents Anne Marie and Lyndon, so they asked me to say hello to them on the radio. So I wish them safe travels, and hopefully to get back safely. And I know they're greatly looking forward to the Ireland New Zealand game in November. So that's it for me this evening. I would like to thank my guests Ash Glover and Philip Muir for joining me today. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll talk to you at the same time next week. Enjoy your sporting week.